So we finished off our morning services with these words from Colossians chapter 2, words that are true for the Christian, the person who's put their trust in Jesus. When we were dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When we were far away from God, unclean spiritually, God made us alive with Christ. How? By forgiving our sins. By cancelling the charge against us, the legal case that God had against us. He cancelled it. That doesn't mean to say that our guilt went unpunished. Because having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away. How? Nailing it to the cross. That Jesus paid the price that we should, by rights, have paid. And having disarmed then all of those things that stood against us, he made a public spectacle of them. Public because Jesus dying on the cross wasn't in secret, was it? It was there, it was a public thing. It happened for people to see. We'll be considering it a lot over the coming weeks, won't we, over Easter. That people walked past the cross and they saw Jesus and they threw insults at him. It looked like Jesus was the public spectacle. But, on the cross, Jesus won. Jesus triumphed over all evil. Because Jesus died there, because he took upon himself the sin of his people, the powers of evil are defeated. Jesus stands victorious. The powers of evil lie defeated. We're going to sing a couple of songs back to back now that are going to help us. Three in a Bible, or scroll to it on your Bible app, whichever one you have. And we're in Colossians chapter 2, starting again where we read a few moments ago, starting at the end of where we finished off. So Colossians 2 verse 16. Paul continues, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon, a celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they've seen. They're puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They've lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. This is the word of the Lord. The cross of Jesus makes all the difference, doesn't it? I don't know what you look back in your life that has made a difference to things. Maybe some good things in your life have made big differences. Maybe some difficult things in your life have made a big difference. What's made a difference in your life? If you're a Christian, The thing that's made a difference in your life is Jesus. It sounds really obvious, doesn't it? It sounds really trite to say, because if we're those who are following Jesus, we know it. We know that's the case all so well. But why does Paul write Colossians? He's writing to people who do know that Jesus makes all the difference. They, like us, have had all sorts of experiences. Maybe they've got married, they've had children, maybe they've lost a spouse, maybe they've lost parents, maybe they've moved across the country, maybe they've had relatives come and live with them, maybe all sorts of things, new jobs, old jobs. Things have made a difference in these people's lives, but they know that the big thing that makes a difference to them is Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ that is bearing fruit all over the world, as we said this morning as we opened up our services. The gospel is bearing fruit across the whole world and in all of those people who trust in Jesus, because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus himself, who makes the biggest difference in our lives. We've already seen, haven't we, this evening, that that Jesus has taken away our sin. He's dealt with it. He's paid the penalty. That he had those nails hammered into his hands. The wounds that the hands that should discard us bear wounds that bid us come. It's a great line, isn't it, from that song? That Jesus calls us to himself, has called us to himself, if we're those trusting in him. He makes all the difference. So why does Paul bother writing? Well, I think this little section in chapter 2 that we've just read just now gives a big clue as to why Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians and why God has preserved it for us in the Bible. Because Jesus has made this massive difference, therefore, do not let anyone judge you. Judge you by what? By what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festivals, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Now, those things feel very foreign to us, don't they? It feels very foreign that somebody might judge us by what we eat or drink. But if we were Christians in a Muslim country, or Christians in a mainly Jewish community somewhere in the world, or in Israel, people may well judge us by what we eat or drink. We were at a bar mitzvah last Saturday. Liz's nephew had turned 13, so we had a bar mitzvah, and I was sitting next to a chap, and he said, can you tell me why Christians don't keep kosher in their houses? Why do you eat pork? Why do you eat this, that, and the other? Why don't you keep the food rules? Now, he wasn't judging me by any means, but he wanted to know why. So these things aren't that far away from us, really, are they? They're not that far away, really. That's the food. With regard to religious festivals, some churches keep all sorts of different saints' days and different festivals and things. And they look at churches like ours, like St. Andrew's and St. Luke's, and they think, well, you're not properly Anglican, properly Church of England, properly Christian even, are you? Because you don't keep all of these special festivals. Look how holy it is in our festivals. And that can feel sometimes, can't it? A little bit, you know, we feel the pull to want to have the trappings to go with the belief. We can feel pulled away by that. New moon festivals, celebrations, or Sabbath days, special days again. But what lies behind all of these things? What lies behind them? Because all of those things, food, special days, religious festivals, all of that, they're actually ways of trying to become holier with God, or at least appear holy, appear to be, you know, a kind of fast-lane Christian. If you're really going to follow Jesus, then I'll tell you what, you need to do this, that, and the other. You need to sing the right songs. You need to go to the right Bible study group. You need to use the right Bible translation. You've got to go to the right church. You've got to do this, that, and the other if you're really going to be a Christian. Paul Paul says, do not let anyone judge you by what ye eat and drink and so on. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. You see, Paul's looking back to these things that are Old Testament things, but still kind of bubble up today in different forms, in different places. A shadow of what's to come. You see, true relationship with God is found in Jesus only. In Jesus only. There is no such thing as a fast lane Christian. There is no such thing as a Christian who's a bit more Christian than the next Christian. Roger Carswell was really clear, wasn't he, this morning? Really clear this morning that whosoever believes in him, in Jesus, receives eternal life. That's what we need to do, isn't it? Believe in Jesus. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility, you know, doing things that are difficult in order to look great, and saying that it's really hard to do these things, and I have to do these things for God, and I have to set my own stuff aside, and it makes me holier. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility, in the worship of all sorts of other things, disqualify you. Paul's already said in Colossians that we're qualified to be God's people simply by faith in Jesus Christ. We're qualified to be members of God's kingdom by trusting in Jesus. Don't let anyone disqualify you. Don't let anyone say that you're not quite good enough. You're not doing it right. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus says, live this way. Live for me. Believe what I teach. Absolutely, do that. Don't add anything to it. Don't let people say, yes, you need to believe in Jesus, but also do X, Y, and Z to be a proper Christian. You don't. You are qualified to be God's people because you trust in Jesus and because he has taken away your sin. Dealt with it. It's gone. I think what Paul's doing here in these two sections that we've read separately is he's holding up the cross as a public display of God's victory, and then holding up false humility as public displays of nothingness. Don't get involved in public displays of nothingness. Jesus has done it. He has won the victory. He is the one who's qualified us. Don't get pulled away. Because those who are pulled away have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Don't get pulled away. And the great promise here is that God causes the body to grow. And we are the body, aren't we? It's God who holds us fast. It's God who keeps us going. You might feel sometimes that you're holding on to God with your fingernails. But did you know he's got you in a vice-like grip? He's the one who causes us to grow. He's the one who keeps us on the straight and narrow. Keep trusting in him. So I guess the message tonight is the message that Roger gave, isn't it? Over the last two nights and this morning twice. Keep trusting in Jesus. Keep following him. Keep going. He's got you. You don't need to add to his work at all. Let me pray. Our Father, we praise you for Jesus. Thank you that he's done all that we need. Thank you that he is the one who has won the victory. He's the one who has us safe And he's the one who has accomplished everything and qualified us to be your people. Amen.